Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori. Coming up today, we're going to open up the phone lines in a few minutes to take your phone calls about the topics and the news that are going on. I want to talk a little bit about the kind of surprising remark made by Stormy Daniels' attorney on MSNBC this morning. And we'll also listen to Fox News, which has apparently two positions on whether or not the U.S. should talk with North Korea. We're going to do that in a few minutes. But first up, fascism and authoritarianism. Can it happen here? It was once the topic of Sinclair Lewis's satirical novel, It Can't Happen Here, in the 1930s. And it's also the subject of a new book by Harvard legal scholar Cass Sunstein. Sunstein has compiled a book co-written with about 19 other people called Can It Happen Here? Authoritarianism in America. Let's go back and listen to the campaign of Donald Trump and listen to clashes between Trump supporters and Trump's opponents and some of what was said during the 2016 campaign. Let's go back to 2016.
Go back to Africa! If you're an African first, go back to Africa!
Go back to Europe!
F*** you! Yeah, you too, bitch!
Two South Boston brothers saw a homeless man on the street who they believed was Hispanic, and they beat him up. They broke his nose, they urinated on him, and when arrested, they told police that it was okay to assault the man because he was Hispanic and homeless. Quote, Donald Trump was right. All these illegals need to be deported.
Do you believe that you've done anything to create a tone where this kind of violence would be encouraged?
I hope not. I truly hope not.
Knock the crap out of him, would you? Seriously. Just knock the hell. I promise you, I will pay for the legal fees, I promise.
In the good old days, this doesn't happen because they used to treat them very, very rough. And when they protested once, you know, they would not do it again so easily.
I love the old days. You know what they used to do to guys like that when they were in a place like this? They'd be carried out on a stretcher, folks. Like to punch him in the face.
Donald Trump during the campaign of 2016. Well, can authoritarianism or fascism happen here in the U.S.? That was what we talked about earlier this week with Cass Sunstein, who is the editor of a new book called Can It Happen Here? Here's the interview I did with Cass Sunstein. Professor Sunstein, welcome to WMNF. Great to have you here.
Pleasure to be here.
I want to ask you about the title of your book, because when Sinclair Lewis wrote his satirical novel, It Can't Happen Here, he was talking about fascism. Are you talking about fascism in this book and the possibility it could come to the U.S.?
Absolutely. That's the question, and the different contributors to the book have different answers.
How would you describe what fascism is?
I describe it in a kind of colloquial way as a system where the government has unbounded authority. So a system where the leader of the country can invade property rights, can abridge freedom of speech, can interfere with freedom of religion. Basically, the untrammeled authority of the center is the defining characteristic, as I would understand it, of fascism. There are more technical definitions, but that's kind of good enough.
Your book is filled with optimists and pessimists on that question about whether or not it could come here. Who were some of the people that contributed to your book?
Well, we have the leading thinker, really, on freedom of speech in the world, Jeffrey Stone, who's from Chicago, and he is the best theorist there is, and so he's one author. We have, arguably, the best social scientist in the world from Norway, a guy named Jan Elster, who writes about some history where authoritarianism flowered. We have Jack Goldsmith, who worked as a principal lawyer in the Bush administration, who works on foreign policy and writes about that. And my personal favorite, I confess, is Samantha Power, former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations and a great thinker on foreign policy. And she's my personal favorite because I'm married to her.
Okay, well, that's a good reason. So you're one of the optimists in the book, if I could characterize you that way. Why are you optimistic that the U.S. Cannot turn to fascism?
I would say we have a fantastic safeguard against fascism, and that is our system of separation of powers. And this is exactly how Hamilton and Madison saw it originally. That is, we have an independent judiciary, which can stop presidential and legislative action that invades liberty or property. And we also have a dependence of the president on Congress, so that the president can't do something without congressional authorization. And we have dependence of Congress on the president, in the sense that if the president says, no, I'm not going to do that horrific thing, he can probably get away with it. And these elaborate systems of safeguards that are structures, not just rights, they are, I think, ultimately very powerful protections for the American people.
That sort of presumes that everybody stays in their lane, so to speak, that Congress does its job but doesn't overstep its job. The president does his job and doesn't overstep. I can remember during the Obama administration, conservatives were very upset that the president was using executive orders to carry out some of his policy. Now, I think a lot of liberals are upset at President Trump's use of his power, especially to roll back those executive orders. I mean, is it possible for the president to exert a lot of power and maybe overstep his lane?
It's possible, but it's tough. So let's take them in sequence. So President Obama's use of executive orders and executive authority overwhelmingly upheld by the courts. So there were complaints that in doing things about greenhouse gas emissions, the president had made a mistake by not going to Congress, made a kind of awful mistake, in violation of the law. But by and large, his actions on climate change are completely within the authority given by the Clean Air Act, and the Supreme Court said that in a case involving the Clean Air Act. They said greenhouse gases are a pollutant. So that was fine. Things that the president did under the Affordable Care Act, overwhelmingly, they were authorized by the Affordable Care Act. So if you go down the list, the number of cases where the president acted plainly in violation of his legal authority, I'm talking about President Obama, I think zero. The act where he, cases where he acted in the end, yes, it did exceed his authority. The number is not zero, but it's not really high. So, and that's what the judiciary said, and that's what lawyers who investigated the issues would generally say. For President Trump, basically, as of this call, I'd say exactly the same thing. That is, President Trump's actions in general have either been within his legal authority, or if they've been outside his legal authority, he at least had an argument that they were inside his legal authority. So the use of regulation as executive orders is something that is time-honored and is part of our system, and there are checks. Then the ultimate check is the judiciary's power to say what the law is, which means that the president ultimately has to stay in his lane, and the courts will insist on that. Now, we've had domains in our history where the president did apparently stay within his legal lane, but in turn, Japanese Americans, and that was shameful. A part of our history, and sometimes presidents can stay in their lanes, but the lane is pretty big, and that can be a threat to freedom. And we saw that, I think, in the Watergate era, where sometimes President Nixon did go outside of his lane, and sometimes even acting within his lane, he did things that are, let's say, inconsistent with our best traditions.
Just jumping out a little bit, has the U.S. Supreme Court ever ruled on Japanese internment? Did it ever find that that was in violation of the Constitution?
Yes and no, respectively. It ruled on it and ruled it was okay. So that was maybe a lesson about the caution of the judiciary in the face of a national security threat, even just a perceived national security threat. So for those who think, as I do, that we can trust the courts probably in the face of something awful, the fact that the Supreme Court in this case basically capitulated to the Reagan administration, that's alarming.
We're talking with Cass Sunstein about his new book. He just edited a book called Can It Happen Here? Authoritarianism in America. In the book, he and about 19 other legal scholars and First Amendment advocates look at the question about whether or not fascism can come to the U.S. Cass, I want to ask you about cheerleading by the president. During President Trump's campaign, there was a lot of cheering on of violence and that sort of thing. During the Tea Party era, you could go to some Tea Party rallies and see Oath Keepers who were armed with weapons saying that they were there to defend the Constitution. Leading up to that, I want to play an ad from the NRA that's out this week touting a new NRA TV show. This is Dana Loesch from the NRA.
We've had enough of the lies, the sanctimony, the arrogance, the hatred, the pettiness, the fake news. We are done with your agenda to undermine voters' will and individual liberty in America. So to every lying member of the media, to every Hollywood phony, to the role model athletes who use their free speech to alter and undermine what our flag represents, to the politicians who would rather watch America burn than lose 1 ounce of their own personal power, to the late night hosts who think their opinions are the only opinions that matter, to the Joyanne Reeds, the Morning Joes, the Mikas, to those who stain honest reporting with partisanship, to those who bring bias and propaganda to CNN, the Washington Post, and the New York Times, your time is running out. The clock starts now.
Well, that's an NRA ad that's out right now with Dana Loesch. Professor Sunstein, do you think that that's a call to fascism?
No, and I think that, you know, we have a system of free speech that the NRA is completely entitled to take advantage of, and tough talk is completely part of our system. The thing I don't like about that, that I wouldn't say is fascistic, but which is beyond the pale, is your time is running out. That's what you say to someone who's you're going to kill, or some you might say it in sadness to someone who's dying, and to say that to the New York Times or to media, your time is running out. Don't do that. There's violence in those words. Your time is running out. And I really respect the NRA, I should say. And I think on some issues they're entirely wrong, but they're part of our system. And this is not something that is consistent with their own best traditions.
When the president, during his campaign, when President Trump pointed to protesters and said, beat them up and I'll pay for your legal bills, and seemed to be cheering people on to break the law to commit assault, could you ever envision a president cheering on maybe the military to go one step beyond, or to cheer on the NRA or the Oath Keepers or the Tea Party to go one step beyond and use their weapons? I mean, did you ever get that feeling watching President Trump during those some of those speeches during the campaign?
Well, you know, I worked for President Obama for 4 years, and then I worked for him actually a little more in a part-time capacity. And I feel that someone who worked for President Obama, it's kind of incumbent on us, this is just my personal view, to be as gracious to his successor as possible. So I took him to be doing these things not as literally wanting people to be hit or punched, but as more expressive of, I don't like that dissent in my presence. Now, you're right that some of it did seem to cross a line. So I would be very surprised if President Trump or any president of the United States did stuff of the sort you're describing. But we've had some bad surprises, including from President Trump, describing the press as enemy of the people. And if President Obama or, let's say, a future Democratic president did that, that would be horrific. And I hope Democrats would say that. To describe the FBI as a partisan entity in circumstances in which it really isn't that, is that crosses a line also, and President Trump has done that. And these things aren't, you know, they aren't fascist, but they are echoing authoritarian, talk And we don't want that from our elected leader.
We're almost out of time, but it is, I mean, you have a lot of faith in the institutions, that if the institutions survive and they can stand up to any assault on democracy.
I do, with one qualification, and I should say I'm one of the most optimistic in the book. The qualification is that if we the people aren't kind of fiercely protective of our rights, then our institutions are unlikely to be enough. So our institutions need us as the ultimate sovereign.
Well, Professor Cass Sunstein, thanks a lot. I guess we're not going to see The Handmaid's Tale in real life anytime soon.
Not tomorrow, not the day after tomorrow, maybe on television.
All right, Cass Sunstein, the editor of the book, Can It Happen Here? Authoritarianism in America. Thanks for coming on WMNF.
Thank you, a pleasure. Thanks, enjoyed it.
Thank you,
great
me too.
Question.
That was Cass Sunstein, who's a professor at Harvard University and the founder and director of the Program on Behavioral Economics and Public Policy. He's also a columnist for Bloomberg View, and his book that he edited is Can It Happen Here? Authoritarianism in America. We got several comments about that interview. One email says that NRA ad you played is classic projection. Pretending its perceived enemy is doing what it's doing, writes Charles from Tampa. And then Anonymous from the 352 area code says, there's no difference between your time is running out, as stated in the NRA ad, and time's up, which is the cry of women and feminists who are upset at sexual harassment. 352 says it's the same thing. And then Gina writes this, what of the spying without a warrant, such as that which is allowed by the Patriot Act? The name itself is a misnomer. Under this act, the government has practically unfettered ability to spy at all levels, from local police to the CIA. This kind of thing is insidious, but isn't it a form of fascism? That's Gina's email from Tampa. That was a good question. There were a bunch of questions I should have asked Cass, but we only had about 10 or 15 minutes for the interview. He was rushing to do a bunch of interviews that day that we taped that. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. We can open the phone lines in a few minutes and take your phone calls. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Now, adult film star Stormy Daniels' attorney, Michael Avenatti, appeared on MSNBC this morning on the Morning Joe program, and he was taking questions about Stormy Daniels' alleged relationship with Donald Trump. At the end of the interview, the co-host, Mika Brzezinski, asked what ended up to be a really revealing question about Stormy Daniels. Was she threatened in any way?
Was she threatened in any way?
Yes.
Was she threatened physical harm?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
All right, so they're from the Stormy Daniels attorney, Michael Avenatti, saying that Stormy Daniels has been threatened with physical harm, but he refused to answer any more questions about that. So that's an interesting bit of information. He also suggested that people watch the 60 Minutes interview, which I think is now scheduled for not this Sunday, but a week from this Sunday. Well, our phone number is 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. Now, the folks at Now This News, which is a news website, maybe it's a satirical news website, was looking at video of Fox News and the way that they've been treating President Trump since it was announced that he was planning to have a meeting with North Korea's leader, Kim Jong-un. And Fox News has been very complimentary of President Trump and his decision to meet with the North Korean leader. As we know, there's been a lot of tension. North Korea has been testing missiles. It's been trying to develop nuclear weapons and apparently has a few nuclear weapons. And Fox News has been very complimentary to President Trump. The website, Now This News, also looked back at President Obama and his suggestion that we might talk with North Korea to try to ease tensions. And Fox News at that point thought it was a horrible idea. And so what we're going to do is listen to this compilation of video. We're going to hear Fox News, what it thought of President Obama saying, let's talk to North Korea, and then what Fox News thought about President Trump speaking with North Korea. What do you think about this? Our phone number, 813-239-9663.
Would you, as president, meet with the leaders of a country like North Korea? Obama extraordinarily said, I'd meet with him.
Senator Obama made his intentions crystal clear on the campaign trail.
I will meet not just with our friends, but with our enemies.
President Obama likes talking to dictators.
He would meet with some of these madmen without any preconditions.
You know, I'm going to reach out to these crazy people around the world and try to get things done.
Yeah.
So I think that's a mistake.
Obama is bowing and scraping before dictators.
What is Team Obama doing? Establishing formal contacts with these people.
A remarkable turnaround in relations between two historic adversaries.
The commander-in-chief's leadership is now leading to a major foreign policy breakthrough.
Another stunning Donald Trump breakthrough.
President Trump scoring a big win.
It's time to celebrate a great victory when it happens.
President Trump proves the experts wrong again and scores a stunning diplomatic triumph.
How about this? The fact that all he wants is to get them back to the table as a precondition.
Sure.
Not, I'll give up. If you give up your nuclear weapons, then we'll talk.
Why would the administration think that this is a group they could do business with?
I have no idea.
Those who hate us will always hate us. And the hatred for America is never going to go away.
It is a definite win for the president.
And it's a huge win for this country.
It's breathtaking, it's audacious, it's bold. It will be historic.
I'm juiced about it.
It'll be magnificent for the people of Korea.
Be magnificent for the world. Obama would personally negotiate with leaders of terrorist nations like Iran and North Korea without preconditions. Wow. The world will probably be a little bit safer. The media should be giving President Trump credit for that.
I'm not sure there's any real discussing issues with Kim Jong-un.
He may be the one president who would actually do this, who would go meet with the North Korean leader.
Look, it's a bad idea for the president to speak to Kim Jong-un. Why wait till the end of May? Let's do this by the end of March.
The current president truly believes that he's the chosen one, cannot deal with criticism.
We are really in danger of living in a sort of pretty little dream world where Barack Obama thinks the power of his personality is going to have this incredible transformative impact on these crazy men all over the world.
President Trump made the decision himself to meet face-to-face with Kim Jong-un.
This guy has a very unique quality of leadership.
He is so charming. He can deal with people. He can get along with people. I think that this will only work out well.
The idea, which has been fanciful from the start, that we could talk North Korea out of its nuclear weapons program.
You cannot make such a promise, not when you're dealing with these madmen who do want to destroy America.
Is he going to stop on his way in Oslo to get the Nobel Peace Prize?
If it works, he should get the Nobel Peace Prize.
It would be something. You give that man the Nobel Prize, there's no question.
But let's be, the chances of that are right around zero, I think.
Will always be fair and balanced, would not the left-wing destroy Trump media.
Sean Hannity there at the end. Well, that was Fox News. Two different takes on whether or not it makes sense to talk to North Korea. When President Obama was in office, bad idea. When President Trump's in office, good idea. I'll send you a link to that. It's a really amazing bit of video, and we don't want the video to go down the memory hole. We all need to remember. So if you want a copy of that video, I'll send you a link. Just email me here in the studio. The address is dj@wmnf.org. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. This is Radioactivity. Just a note, too, that we start our public affairs shows at 9 a.m. here on WMNF with Democracy Now! And then we go through a variety of great programs at 10 o'clock each weekday morning. This morning we heard True Talk. Then you can hear Radioactivity at 11 o'clock, my show. And then at 12 noon, the Midpoint program. Coming up today, Daniel Ruth. And 4 days a week, you can hear Executive Session at 1 o'clock. So we hope you tune in if you like news and talk. To tune in every day at 9 a.m. with Democracy Now! Well, let's take some phone calls. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Frank Knox and Patty Perkey are answering the phones today. And let's go to Miles in Sarasota, who's been waiting a long time. Hi, Miles. You're on WMNF. What would you like to say?
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
I'm good. What's up?
Oh, my God. Where do I start? This state is so weird because of all the Yankees come down here. I'm from New York, okay? I used to live in Atlanta, okay? But I think what happens here is that you have an old Republican legislature, which a friend of mine in Winter Haven said his father was involved with it, said they're horrible. They're absolutely horrible. Okay. Rick Scott's getting some heat now because as it grows, it'll, it's going to turn around a little bit, I think, you know.
So, Miles, did you want to talk about any of the subjects that I brought up so far? Or you,
yeah, I think it's terrible.
Okay.
The guns got to stop, man. Come
the
on,
gun, the guns have to stop, okay.
Well, of course. I mean, I'm from Georgia, man. It's nothing near this. Without Florida, you would have no news.
Well, in some ways, that's true. All right, Miles, thanks a lot. Thanks for kicking off the show. Great to hear from you. Let's go to Danny in Tampa. Hi, Danny, you're on. What would you like to say?
Good morning, Rob. Yes, I've heard that this morning about Stormy Daniels being threatened. I heard a lawyer saying that that's really, really going to be something in a couple of weeks, and they're going to try to stop the 60 Minutes interview, but I heard that's going to be to no avail. And when you think about it, somebody like Michael Cohen, the lawyer for Donald Trump, who personally paid $130,000, supposedly, to Stormy Daniels out of his own money, and says he would take a bullet for Donald Trump. Now, that's loyalty.
That is. Okay. Well, you know, Danny, doesn't your attorney, though, isn't he willing to come up and step up when you're in trouble to spend $130,000 for you?
Man, that's never been done in the history of, I saw last night, that has never been done. Even a guy who was a lawyer that's a friend of Michael Cohen admitted to Jeffrey Toobin that's never been done before. Yeah, you know, that's never, he has never heard of that before. I'm sure he did it, but I'm just saying, first of all, the fact that you're taking it, have you ever heard of anybody saying you're going to take a bullet for and you're not a Secret Service for your friend?
Well, he's obviously very much dedicated or in love with President Trump.
Yes, he is. Yeah. He must be, because let me tell you something. He'd be the last guy I'd take a bullet for. You know, that's for sure.
All right, Danny. Thanks a lot.
No, wait a minute. Also, let me say something else, too, that besides that, look at what's happening now with his staff, the failed Trump administration, with McMaster leaving now and Lawrence Kudlow coming in. Lawrence Kudlow has been certified as, I don't call the Wall Street that much, but he has been a bad predictor for years. Even when Bush was president, said that we were not going to have, everything was fine. I don't know if you heard that before.
Yeah, you know, I think Daniel Ruth is going to bring up this topic because we were talking a little bit about this beforehand. The Kudlow does not have a very good track record in predicting economic
matters.
Not at all.
Real right wing, real red knife. And let me be with Maxine Waters. Maxine Waters, again, was on MSNBC for the second time this week, saying that, quote, that Donald Trump has always been a con man. He's a con artist, if he thinks that he's going to shut her up, he's got another thing coming, and he should be impeached. And Rob, he can't go to England because he's going to be, people hate him there. They hate him in New York. He's at 9% approval in New York, 1 point behind Son of Sam.
Wow, that's low. Yeah, all right, Danny, thanks a lot. Have a good weekend, Danny. Thank you. 813-239-9663. All right, Greg writes this. Fascism is happening here. Donald Trump is guilty of inciting violence and riots, writes Greg. He goes on to say that Trump followers are guilty of violence and murders that he incited by scapegoating immigrants, Muslims, and with his racism. The president, the NRA, and some of their supporters are the real terrorists in the U.S., I think there's no doubt that there's been violence, especially people that were protesting at Trump rallies. Murders? Well, Greg, you're going to have to remind me. I don't know that that's happened. So, Greg, thanks for your email. John writes this. Here's a question. Did Stormy Daniels willingly have sex with Donald Trump, or did he have to pay? That's John's question. Brian writes this. Don't forget about Fox News, how much hell that President Obama got after agreeing to meet Cuba's President Raul Castro. I can hear the right-wing media now. Cuba hasn't done anything to deserve meeting with the President of the United States, they said. The outrage over Trump's announcement of meeting Kim Jong-un is truly deafening, writes Brian, who's in Tampa. And then somebody anonymously from the 813 area code writes, is the president the only office that does not require a security clearance? What about the Veep? I don't know. I don't think the president does require a security clearance. Let's take some more phone calls. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Sean, who's in Tampa. Hi, Sean. You're on. What would you like to comment about?
Hey, good morning. The comment was, the video that you played, or the audio you played earlier was interesting and humorous. But I also wonder, what is your take on the other side? What MSNBC and CNN are doing, and how they're flipping the story. And do you feel like it's kind of just par for the course? One side is flipping the video and playing it to, the Fox side, and that MSNBC is doing the same thing, but kind of in the reverse, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. I don't know. I don't know if a video could be compiled saying that MSNBC or CNN are hypocritical on an issue of foreign policy. I think it's possible. I have not seen it, and I watch a lot of videos from conservatives and liberals. I don't see that. Not saying that it hasn't happened. I'm sure there's been some hypocrisy on MSNBC and CNN. I think this was so blatant, though. If you're watching all the Fox hosts, the morning people and Sean Hannity and all these people going off on President Obama when he suggests talking with North Korea, and now they're really embracing President Trump as a hero. I watch all three networks, and then I try to turn them off too, so I don't get overloaded. But I don't see, when I watch CNN and MSNBC, I don't see that kind of hypocrisy. Now, that's not to say that somebody who watches them all the time might come up with a similar video, but I don't think you can do it. I don't think you can do one quite as spectacular as this one.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was my thought.
All right. Yeah, Sean, it's good always to ask that question, though, and I'm not saying it's impossible. 813-239-9663. Let's go to John in Port Richey. John, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey. Thanks for the show. I want to comment on the video clip that you played. And this goes back to yesterday's show, I think, on executive session, where he asked about the comment Trump made to Trudeau about having the trade deficit, and he insisted that we had one. He made a comment about can Trump get away with these lies? And I think that video clip kind of bolsters my theory that, yes, he can, for two reasons. One, the conservative media would just not lambast him on it. They would just gloss over it. They wouldn't call him out on it. They would probably support him on the stuff. But more importantly, on the second point, like they did there, but on the second point, if something comes out that is negative against Trump, they will lambast it as being fake news. So they can get away with a lot of stuff that they do. I was listening to Mark Levin last night, and I just had to laugh at the stuff that he was saying. It's, like, ridiculous. But
yeah, Mark Levin can be pretty vicious, can't he?
Yeah, and they're always so angry, too.
Jeez, yeah, I think so there is a lot of anger.
I know.
It's hard for me to listen to Mark just because he is so angry.
I like listening to, because you can just hear his voice build up, and then he just starts screaming at the microphone. I don't listen to him a lot. I only catch him a few times, but it's...
Yeah, and it reminds me, Summer played that tape of these young women who are casing a mosque, and all the stuff that they were saying, it reminds me of listening to AM radio.
It does. And that's the problem, is that these people only see that, and they will only believe that, and anything that contradicts that thought, they will blow it off or say, oh, that's fake news, and they won't. You can't argue with these people. I'm telling you, it drives me crazy. I've got a friend who's very conservative, and it just doesn't work. I've just given up, because he just can't reason, doesn't have that cognitive skill, I think, to delineate between subtle differences. He blankets it all in one thing. That's it. It's all under one umbrella, and you can't go, no, there's a distinction between bad news and fake news. There really is. All right.
All right, John. Thanks a lot. Good to hear from you. 813, we got an open line. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Elizabeth in Riverview. Hi, Elizabeth. Thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Good morning, Rob. First of all, I want to say thank you to Frank. He and Bill mailed the copy of the Newsweek the magazine article on our dear Marion Hammer.
The New Yorker article, yeah.
New Yorker, yes, thank you,
yeah.
My memory. Anyway, I spent all day yesterday reading it. Takes me a while to read things now. Wow. I knew things were kind of bad. I mean, after all, we've got a dishonest liar for a president. Sometime in the past, our dear Congress, our legislators, changed the laws so that the legislators who receive money from lobbyists are not taking bribes. Oh, no, there's something else now, and it's all quite legal. And as a result of that, our entire legislative group in Tallahassee is owned by the NRA. How much worse can it get?
You know, Elizabeth, I would pay money to watch you go up to Tallahassee and just sit down and meet with Marion Hammer. That would be very entertaining, I think, to see you.
Man, if I were able to drive, I tell you, I might get up there and do just that. But I can't.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
the world is closing in on me. But anyway, let me tell you the one bright spot that I see, and it's purely selfish, because next month I will be 93 years old.
Congratulations. That's great.
I am not there yet. Anyway, I look at it this way. Well, when you reach this ancient age, pretty soon the good Lord is going to say, oh, come on, come visit me for a while. And oh, am I looking forward to that. I want to see what happens next. That's what I look forward to. I have no earthly pleasures left here. But I want to see what happens when you die. Do we go all meet at the river and sing hymns, or do you just come to the edge and fall over and that's it?
One of those great mysteries, yeah.
Yeah, but I'll find out before you will.
Okay, well, Elizabeth, thanks. I hope you don't do it anytime soon.
Thank you, Rob.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Great to hear from you. Have a good weekend. 813-239-9663 is the phone number to call if you want to join the conversation. Let's go to Dale in St. Petersburg. Hi, Dale. Thanks for calling in. What would you like to comment about?
I was commenting about the video. Thanks for playing it. I've been saying it for a long time, and, these people that listen to Fox News and they have such slanted views about life and about liberty and everything else, but you talk about fair and balance, and there's nothing fair and balance in anything that they say, and I mean, just such a hypocritical people. It just makes your skin crawl sometimes, you know. So it's sickening.
Yeah. They certainly didn't treat President Obama fairly. I mean, they
did not.
They did not.
Not in the least. I have friends that are Republican, and they couldn't stand the fact that President Obama was in office. And every time he took a vacation, they said, well, he doesn't deserve a vacation. He never does anything, and this and that and the other. And this piece of crap that we got in office, he's never worked a day in his life. And all he's done is steal from the company. He's wrecked the entire budget in less than a year. He's taking more vacation than anybody ever thought of, but they never complained. You never hear them complain about this sorry piece of crap, but they complained about President Obama every time he went anywhere, did anything. And the fact that he was on Air Force One, the fact that he was in the White House or nothing. You know, it's sickening. It's just totally sickening.
Well, and I remember all the hits that President Obama took when I watched Fox News, all the hits he took for going out to Hawaii, going back home, and playing golf. And Fox News was very outraged that President Obama spent his vacations playing golf. And then I guess he played on other occasions, too. But, boy, this president has gotten in a lot of golf. And I haven't seen any criticism on Fox News.
Not one. Not the first criticism. And in the first six months, he blew the entire four-year budget for
travel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sickening. I mean, and how these people sleep at night? And they call themselves Christians. They call themselves conservatives. There's nothing conservative about that at all. Not one iota.
Yeah, there is a double standard. Dale, thanks a lot. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
All right, great to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Here's an email from Guy. He says, fascism, ? I have faith in our system to take care of things. Just look at all the Dems who have won seats as new as yesterday when Lamb won in Pennsylvania. Keep fighting, but intelligence and morality always wins. People eventually wake up, writes Guy, even Republicans, when they're done with Trump. And a lot of people are wanting that video. I think I've sent the video to about 20 or 25 people so far, and I'm not even through all the requests that I've gotten from our great listeners. Harvey writes this, strong and wise leaders surround themselves with advisors of many different opinions, so they might be well-informed when making important decisions. Our fake and dangerous president surrounds himself with ass-kissers and those who agree with them regardless of facts. There will likely never be a more ignorant, ill-informed, and easily manipulated president. Putin understood this, and I believe that little Rocket Man understood this too. Soon after the election, he started pushing through heightened rocket testing for that meeting with our glorious leader. Just being granted a meeting fulfills one of his wishes, that of recognition. What else will the useful idiot concede? Harvey, they're not obviously a friend of President Trump. 813-239-9663. If you are a friend of President Trump, you're welcome to call too. And let's go to Mike, who's in Bradenton. Mike, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, really appreciate the show, Rob. I just wanted to say, you know, I think all Americans need to really start thinking about the worst case scenario with this president. You know, are we going to be looking at a constitutional crisis if he fires Mueller or get someone to fire, or he fires, you know, Sessions and get someone who can fire Mueller? What happens if they try to remove him and he goes on television and calls, you know, for his supporters to take to the streets? I think it's something we're at the point now where it's really important that people start thinking about the worst case scenario of how this unfolds, because it's an incredibly dangerous situation from where I'm sitting.
Yeah, you know, I get a lot of conservative emails and I read a lot of conservative websites. There's a pretty active discussion on conservative websites about civil war. And you know, I've seen, you know, some of my conservative friends will send me emails saying that the left or the liberals are more heavily armed than the right, and the right should buy weapons. You know, I hope we can come together. I hope we can, you know, not spew out angry comments. I think we, you know, finding that space where we can talk is so important, but I get all these emails from the far right that say that we're on the verge of some sort of civil war.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, in 1973-74, when the Watergate hearings were going on, and then there was a move to have a vote in the House, in the House Judiciary Committee, to impeach Richard Nixon, there were tense feelings. I was around back then, but there was no sense that the right was going to arm itself and try to protect Nixon and keep him in office. But I do know what you're saying. I've got this sense that there's a small cadre of people on the far right who think that, you know, taking up arms is a good idea, and I it's never a good idea.
Well, yeah, for 20 years, Fox News and AM radio, Rush Limbaugh, Alex Jones, all of those purveyors of lies and propaganda, they're the ones that have been telling these people that their, you know, rights are under assault, that, you know, Obama's a secret Muslim, that, you know, they're the people that have stoked the flames of this fear. And I don't know. I thought for sure that Trump would lose in a landslide. So for me to sit here and say, oh, well, I'm sure there won't be any violence if he's removed, you know, I could see myself being dead wrong about that one too. And I really think people need to start talking about it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I am on the Alex Jones list, so I get a lot of stuff that Alex Jones puts out. Alex Jones, mm-hmm. earlier this month, was predicting that North Korea was going to attack Japan. And I wrote it on my calendar just so I wouldn't forget. So Alex Jones is saying at the very end of this month, this is what he was saying earlier this month, that North Korea is going to attack Japan. Now, this was before President Trump came out with his announcement that he's going to meet with Kim Jong-un. And then the other thing that Alex Jones was telling us at the beginning of the year is that the UN was about to send troops to Chicago. Now, can you imagine that? That Alex Jones, can you imagine the fear he's trying to put into his followers? I mean, he's trying to scare the pants out of his followers. It turns out that one alderman in Chicago, of which there are many aldermen in Chicago, one guy said, you know, we ought to reach out to the UN and see if we can bring in peacekeepers. And okay, that was an idea that was floated. I don't think it went anywhere. But then Alex Jones' supporters got on the radio, got on the phone, rather, and called Alex Jones and said, I'm in Chicago. The UN is sending troops here, and they'll get here any day. And it was completely untrue. And of course, you know, people can call into a radio show and say anything, but this is one of Jones' correspondents out there in Chicago. And it was, you know, I think Jones is there to frighten people. I think that's what his job is. Yeah. But anyway, all right. Mike, thanks a lot. Thanks.
Hey, keep up the good work, Rob.
I promise.
Everything you do.
Thank you for saying that. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. 813-239-9663. You are listening to WMNF in Tampa. Let's go to Ken, who's in beautiful St. Petersburg. Hey, Ken, you're on. What would you like to say?
Good morning, Rob. Great show.
Thank you.
Thank you for it. And I just quick comment. Us today worried about the right wing maybe starting a revolution and trying to take over with weapons. I'm an older white male, back in the very early 70s, when I was a young Marine officer in 29 Palms, California, we were, to a certain extent, worried about the left wing doing that with groups like the Sandinista Liberation Army and whatnot, doing different things around the country. And very fortunately, we didn't, so we got rid of Nixon shortly thereafter, and, we... country hasn't gone the way I'm very progressive these days, and I have been most of my life, but I'm hopeful that there won't be any type of a quote-unquote violent revolution, that will do it through nonviolent change, and go Bernie.
Ken, I was around during those Patty Hearst days and the Symbionese Liberation Army days, and I can remember I was working in a newsroom in Ohio at my college, and we were hearing the reports about what the Symbionese Liberation Army would put out, these reports about revolution and all that. And we were sitting in the newsroom thinking, who are these crazy people? You know, I mean, I went to a very liberal college, but even those of us at one of the centers of liberalism in the U.S. knew that these were whack jobs out there in California. They weren't serious. They had no connection to the wider progressive community that was based on civil rights, environmental justice. There was still an anti-war movement around back then. There was certainly an anti-Nixon movement, because it looked like he had violated the rights of the Democratic Party during the 1972 campaign. But, you know, people who were, not everybody on the, in fact, very few people on the left thought that the Symbionese Liberation Army was represented them. I mean, there might have been a few stragglers, but that was not the common belief. They were considered really whack jobs, as I said before. And yeah, I think there are, from time to time, there are left-wing groups that think that a violent revolution is necessary. But I think that most progressives out there are like you. They support Bernie. They want to do it peacefully and nonviolently. I mean, the biggest successful event of our time, I think, was the civil rights movement, where the laws of apartheid were thrown out in the South. After, some people died certainly on the side of civil rights, But I don't think anybody was injured or died, rather, on the racist side. The most successful revolution was the nonviolent one. The most successful revolution that we've had in modern times was the nonviolent one that we had here in the U.S. for civil rights. And I think that's where I think that's where most progressives are.
Yeah, I agree. I agree totally. And it's unfortunate that after the JFK assassination and then RFK and Martin Luther King, they were all terrible. President Johnson, to his credit, and Congress was able to get, you know, many of those things through. Even the ADA, American Disabilities Act, came through at that time as well for handicapped people. Unfortunately, Johnson continued the war in Vietnam. I think maybe he did it because he was afraid of what happened to Kennedy, which I believe is one of the reasons he's no longer with us.
I think Johnson was, and it helps to have a movement. And there was a grassroots movement that wanted the anti-poverty programs, that wanted to have civil rights laws in the country. And it was a proud, nonviolent, peaceful, yet courageous movement that was pushing Johnson in that direction, pushing Congress in that direction. I think that's the way change happens.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So one more quick thing, if I could. I don't mean to hog the time here, but, you know, I was a very junior officer at that time, but speaking with much more senior officers and whatnot, knowing what, you know, these later on, what Nixon was thinking, they were very paranoid, the conservative leaders in the country, like Nixon and others, and they had a different real fear of the left, both the Symbionese type, which was very small, you know, tip of the iceberg, and the millions of others who were mostly against the war and for rights for everybody, basically, the end of discrimination against African Americans, you know, more equality for women and whatnot, everything that was going on there, and even the environment back then.
Yeah, I think you're right about Nixon and his administration's paranoia. I think that's true. And we know that COINTELPRO went on during that. The government went overboard in looking at peace activists and civil rights activists back then. All right, Ken, thanks a lot.
Exactly, Rob. Thank you very much. Great show.
Great, thank you. Ken writes this. He said, being 67 years old, I've seen so much of my life and time. I've traveled around the world and always felt the U.S. was a good country, not a great one, but the last 20 years I've become ashamed and embarrassed to be an American. The young students of Parkland are finally giving me hope. Maybe before I pass, things will change back to the good, writes James, who's out there listening online. Well, if you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001 or record your comment on extension 115. And we'll play those comments back Monday morning at 11 o'clock. Stay tuned now for Daniel Ruth. He's coming up next right here on 88.5 FM. This is WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg.
mystery bay. Take out chest, let the mystery be.
Live from NPR News.